You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Conor McGregor, you gotta come back and fight somebody. I'll see you at the top.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker. The king is back.
Hello, everyone. Apologies for the technical difficulty. We were meant to go on immediately after the show. You guys know how it is. You guys know how it is with the internet and with the computers sometimes. But we are here, guys, on the inaugural episode of Tough Hang. As you might have heard in the intro, the king is back. We're not talking about Conor McGregor. Of course, we are talking about the undisputed king of reality television programming since 2005. The Ultimate Fighter is back. Season 31, starring Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler. If you're joining us now, you probably, well, I mean, now maybe like 10 minutes ago, finished watching the scintillating season premiere and are just itching to talk tough. You're in the right place. This is Tough Hang, MMA Fighting's reaction show for the season of The Ultimate Fighter. I'm one of your hosts, Alexander K. Lee, and it is my pleasure to introduce my co-host who will be with us every week, the jocular and jubilant GC Connor Burks. GC, how the hell are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. As you can see, I don't have a microphone in front of me like you guys. That was the technical difficulties. But we are here. I'm in my beautiful studio. Had it custom built for this.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty great. I'm not going to lie. We got the proper 12 over this shoulder. We got some toys, some signed jerseys. The guys sent them over for me. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. I'm happy to be here.
That's a quality tough man cave. That is legitimate.
It's great. It's where I watch every episode. It's really fantastic stuff.
Also with us tonight, producer extraordinaire E. Casey Lydon, who will also be joining with his opinion. This is especially important because the three of us are kind of representing three different sides of this equation here. I consider myself a grizzled Ultimate Fighter veteran. I've seen almost every season. I might have missed a couple of the foreign ones, I think. So I am the grizzled vet, GC, the bright-eyed prospect. KC, admittedly a lapsed fan, a former frequent viewer of The Ultimate Fighter, and maybe not watching every season regularly, maybe not appointment viewing for you anymore.
No.
okay. Yeah, I just wanted to confirm, yes. And if you're wondering the vet prospect thing, maybe you didn't watch. We'll get into that in a second, why that's appropriate for this season, Ultimate Fighter 31. But just to let you know, guys, Tough Hang. This will be here every week, every Tuesday, the next 9 weeks. Immediately after the show, we'll talk all the McGregor-Chandler drama, best moments from the show, break down the fights, what there is to break down. There wasn't much tonight, and more. Tonight, you have us live. So without further ado, let's just get to the first impressions of this show. Again, Tough 31 season premiere. Let's go to the prospect, the number one pick, Conor Burks. What do you think of episode one?
I mean, I thought it was thoroughly entertaining. Like you mentioned it, I am technically a prospect in this. You are the veteran. It's very fitting for this show. I've never sat down and watched every single episode each week of a tough season. I've obviously seen the viral clips. I've obviously seen like the big highlights and some episodes throughout the years, but I've never sat down and watched every episode of a season. And I loved it. I mean, I'm not like a reality TV diehard, but like I can get really into a season of reality television. And this is like, my roommate watched it with me and this is his first impression as well. And he was just like, man, this is so reality TV show. It's literally just the UFC's reality TV show. I thought this episode was pretty entertaining. I think as we go along, they're going to get more entertaining as we get to know the characters. And then we get to see, you know, McGregor and Chandler really start to shine. But I thought this one was pretty good. Entertaining, a nice way to start it off.
I'm really happy to hear that because, as I said, I've watched a lot of the show. Casey has certainly watched enough that he's maybe gotten his fill of it. So it's really good to hear that. There's his reaction. It's really good to hear that you and your roommate like loved it so much because if you hadn't watched the last like 6 or 7, maybe 8, maybe even 10 seasons, the format has not changed in a long time. So I imagine there's a lot of people tuning in either for the first time or first time in a while because of course McGregor and maybe Chandler as well, and maybe are really enjoying it. But I think for some of us who have seen it before, this season premiere was pretty much exactly the same as every other season premiere from a format standpoint, from a pacing standpoint, from a production standpoint. It hasn't changed, I think, since Ultimate Fighter, I want to say 16, that was the Jon Jones Chael Sonnen season when they kind of had to first upgrade to HD cameras and clean up the show a little bit because they were getting on bigger networks. So less shenanigans, more focus on the human stories. And that's a lot of what you saw today. We'll mention that. Of course, we saw a lot of that with this week's fighters, Roosevelt Roberts and Nate Jennerman. But what did you think right away of how they presented McGregor and Chandler? Did you want to see more of that, GC, or were you kind of happy that it was like kind of balanced with how they covered that drama and then the fighters and then explaining the show itself and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to see more of their interactions. It felt like there was a lot of like, just like, obviously, you know, they're gonna cut down a lot of it. It felt like a lot of it was selective audio and we didn't really get a ton of them where I felt like they had a lot of interactions in that beginning portion. One question I do have for you though, you know, you said it's kind of cut and dry from the last 10 seasons or however long it's been. You're saying this is pretty much like switch out the fighters, switch out the coaches. This is pretty much same old shit for the last decade.
I wouldn't phrase it that way. But yeah, it has been this way. And again, some people, you know, I think this format is in some ways better than the way it originally used to be. I know there's a lot of people who disagree with me because in the earliest days, one, heavy emphasis on getting the fighters drunk off of their asses and seeing what kind of shenanigans they would just get up to on their own. That may happen this year. We know that they are fully stocked, apparently, with proper 12 in the house. So yeah, I don't know if they're...
There too. Love it.
I don't know if they're encouraging it again. I think they still want to keep them somewhat moderate. And there also used to be Survivor style reality game shows, which now they do between the coaches and that's it. They used to be the contestants had to do it. It made no sense. So yeah, the product the way it is now is kind of the way it's been for the last 10, 11 seasons. Just a little bit more like refined, a little more, like you said, kind of classic reality, like, well, let's say more modern reality TV show. And some people like that. But how did you feel about the draft, Connor? How did you feel about the picking of teams? Normally, it's a pretty traditional, the coaches and their teams get to look at the fighters ahead of time, kind of work them out, and then pick them. Classic, they flip a coin. This guy gets the number one pick. This coach gets to pick the first fight. This time, they were kind of divided into four subgroups with four lightweight veterans and four lightweight prospects, four bantamweight veterans and four bantamweight prospects. And you kind of had to pick by group. I thought it was a little confusing at first. I don't know if you just kind of got it right away.
So explain to me, like, is that – that's not typically how they do it. They don't do the subset. Do they normally go fighter by fighter or, like, weight class by weight class?
Yeah, it depends. Also, some seasons only have one weight class. It's just like 60. It'd be like 16 middleweights, for example. But they do tend to like it's easier to cast eight of two from two different weight classes. Yeah, sure. And it's normally like they're like this guy's the number one pick. We want him. And but this time this was a little bit weirder because some of the fighters, as we know, there's that pre-show drama had ties to McGregor. So I don't know how they would have handled the picking there. So it looks like, and then they want to go with this prospects and veterans thing. And we'll talk about the murkiness of that in a second, like the designation of prospect and veteran. But you enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it? Or would you have preferred to see
It felt like a letdown to me. Like when Dave brought out the corn and everything, and he's like, all right, it's time for the draft. But whoever wins the coin toss is going to get first pick. And I thought they were going to, you know, go through everyone, and there was going to be like some tactics at hand, and like there was going to take some research beforehand to be able to do it. And it was just like McGregor was just like, "Yep, I'll take the prospects." And I mean, it was over like that. It felt like there was no real skill or excitement or tactic or anything to it.
Yeah, it was over really quickly, and we didn't get the drama of, I mean, there was a previous season. Anyone who listened to Damn this week, or last week, about BJ Penn had a classic Ultimate Fighter moment once back in season 5, where he was like, "Who wants to be on my team and have nothing to do with the other coach's team?" And you couldn't, like, the way they laid it out this time, you really couldn't do anything like that. There's also sometimes the drama, like, I thought it's always fun when you know a coach is affiliated with certain fighters. In this case, I think Lee Hammond and Brad Katona are like Conor McGregor guys. And it's like, how high is he going to use a high pick on them because they're his boys? Or if he knows that there's better prospects in the show, will he draft them over them? So that's always a fun thing to keep an eye on. And there really was none of that this time around. But we did kind of end up with a good thing. I do like that all the prospects ended up on one side and all the veterans ended up on one side. GC, I don't know if would have preferred to see them mixed up.
No, I like that. I like that it's like prospects versus veterans. I kind of like that McGregor got the prospects and Michael Chandler got the veterans too. That feels like sort of reflective of their personalities as well.
I think it's like what McGregor wanted too. It feels like he wanted it. How much have you looked into the contestants vis-a-vis their amount of experience and their ages?
So, like, I've looked in a little bit, and a lot of the veterans' names I recognize, and like a few of the prospects I recognize as well. But as in terms of like looking at all their ages and deep diving, no, I've not done that yet.
Yeah. So the way they essentially said the prospect team is pretty much just all the guys who have not fought in the UFC, and if you're a veteran, it's because you fought in the UFC. The amount of experience, somewhat as well. Obviously, you've got guys like Jason Knight, Kurt Hollibaugh, Cody Gibson, Valiev, they have considerably more experience than the prospect guys. But the age thing is a bit funny because you have guys on the prospect team, three of them are age 34 and up, which does not scream prospect to me, and have been some of them have been fighting for, I think, like Nate Gentleman's been fighting for like 10 years or something. So it's a little weird. It's strictly because they haven't fought in the UFC that for the purposes of this show, they're being considered prospects. I mean, we just even saw the fight, and we'll talk more about the fight soon. Gentleman and Roberts, that was a fight for this week. Gentleman's the prospect. He's older than Roberts. So I don't know. Do you think is that a little funky? I mean, is that weird? Or
once it was explained to me that the veterans had fought in the UFC and the prospects had not, I felt like that was a simple dividing line. One thing I did write down, I took some notes as the episode went on. Obviously, Valiev, Timur Valiev, we recognize him. He has fought in the UFC. He had some success in the UFC as well. Like he was a good, solid bantamweight. Like it feels to me, just right off rip, it feels like he is going to have a lot of success moving through this show.
And yet he was, I believe, so he ends up on Michael Chandler's team. And I believe he's evaluated as the number three. I guess I should read this out. So after the teams were divided up, the coaches then, for the purposes of making the matchups, had to rank their fighters 1 to 4, like their lightweights 1 to 4 and their bantamweights 1 to 4. This is, again, you guys, if you didn't see the episode, you can see where this was a little confusing. So for the team McGregor, the lightweights in order from 1 to 4, Lee Hammond, who's like a SBG, big SBG guy, I think almost like a protege. Number 2, Nate Gentleman. Number 3, Aaron McKenzie. Number 4, Landon Quinones. On the Chandler side, he went number 1, Jason Knight. You guys all know him. Austin Hubbard, Rizal Roberts, and then Kurt Hollibaugh 4th. And then on the McGregor side, the bantamweights, his number 1 ranked, Mando Gutierrez, Trevor Wells 2nd, Carlos Vera, then Rico DiCiullo, and then Chandler's bantamweights, Hunter Azure, number 1, Brad Katona, number 2, Timur Valiev, number 3, and Cody Gibson. So, I mean, you're right. Timur's name jumps right out. It was a little surprising. I guess maybe that speaks to the strength of Chandler's bantamweight veterans. I'm not sure, but I don't know. And the other thing was all the matchups are set now. We know Timur at some point is going to fight let me see if I got this right. Trevor Wells. Oh, that's Trevor Wells. And technically, he's the lower seeded fighter. But GC, you seem pretty confident that Valiev could go on a run here.
The seeds, as they said, feels like that was like a strategic thing to try and get the best matchups. Like it didn't feel like he was just going 1 through 4. I mean, Chandler's first pick was Roosevelt Roberts, and he had him seated as his 3 for that weight class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a bit funny. Also, it's like it's not like going. It's only 4 fighters, so the seating is. It doesn't feel like I don't think he's saying like, oh, Jason Knight is so much better than Austin Hubbard or McGregor. Mando Gutierrez is so much better than Charbonnet. It's only 4 fighters. There's not that you're ranking. It's not a lot of room for separation. But do you like knowing who everyone's fighting ahead of time, or would you prefer it sort of the way they usually do it? Is kind of it's a week to week like surprise.
I would have preferred a week-to-week surprise. Ooh. I guess though, at the same time, now we can look forward to it as it goes along. One thing I did have to say that I got a kick out of is that, like, as they were listing off the matchups, Michael Chandler is, like, super professional, just listing everyone off the dome. And, like, McGregor's just got his phone, and he's like, all right, that's number 2, and, like, then read his name off, like, again, it just felt like very reflective of who they are as people.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about who they are as people. Again, we'll get to the fight discussion in a second. It was really quick, so I don't know how much there is to say. I was a little disappointed. We kind of touched upon it. There wasn't a lot of emphasis on McGregor-Chandler drama. We kind of got an introduction. We got some like half-hearted taunting, but it was almost like they were barely in the same room. I don't know. It didn't land for me, that aspect of the show, so far. I know they're building up to the big shove. Anything else from McGregor? Yeah, like you said, I know you said you would have wanted more.
Is that what we're calling it? That's what we're recording it. We don't know what episode it's going to happen, but like the big show, because I've seen that clip a million times, and that kind of took away from it a little bit, that beginning scene where it's just like the amount of times I've seen that clip at this point where it's just like, and in comes the most iconic mixed martial artist of all time, Conor McGregor, dressed to the nines. It's like I can almost say it word for word. I've seen it so many times. And then it's just like, have I told you what weight class is at? It's going to be a middleweight. Do what you're told. Like, that would have been great if I had gotten to see it for the first time. I was going to watch the show anyway. I know that they had to bring in an audience and try and prop it up a little bit. I was going to watch it anyway. I wish I had gotten to see that naturally tonight for the first time, because that was the best dialogue they had the entire episode.
Yeah, it's like when you modern trailers these days, they give away too much. You almost wish some of it could be, like you said, they know we're going to tune in. I guess you have to do it for lapsed fans like our producer and maybe some other, you know, again, some other newcomers who aren't like, you know, new hardcores like yourself, GC. You're all in on this stuff now, but I guess
it's horrible. I mean, look at this. This isn't coming off till August, baby.
Oh, that's gross. You mentioned, you know, listen, you are familiar. I have to ask this question to you specifically because you mentioned kind of the Conor's, his new line, you'll do as you're told and have you. This has become something that's very popular on your show that you do with Jed Meshew, No Bets Barred, outstanding MMA gambling podcast. The chat GPT bet, it's sweeping the nation. It's making a lot of people a lot of money, I've heard. Does it feel like McGregor's dialogue is being generated by ChatGPT at this point? Like, when's the last time you really heard him say something and you were like, oh, that's great. Like, I got in your head and just like, I don't know. Maybe you like that line. I just, it's not landing for me.
Which line specifically are you talking about?
I don't like the you'll do as you're told thing. It's okay.
I thought that was a decent line. Like he like tossed up, like he was super friendly with him, and he's just like, oh yeah, you know what? Have I told you what weight class it's going to be at yet? And like, you know, Chandler is having fun with it. He's like, oh, I'll do 185. And then he just kind of sat him down. I mean, it's tough like to continue to top the amount of great trash talk lines he's had. Like, has he lost a step? For sure. But I think he's still got a few miles of good trash talk left in him.
Okay. You're more optimistic about that than I am. We've had a lot of internal discussions on Slack about how much, you know, charisma gas, as it were, does Conor McGregor have left? I don't know. I'm less in on some of it.
I will say, like, about McGregor, it's like, you don't know which McGregor you're going to get. Like, are you going to get the nice, chill, relaxed McGregor that has like this great outlook on life and is really grateful? Are you going to get the crazy McGregor that just like F everybody? Or are you going to get just like old, you know, classic vintage McGregor? It's just like, you're kind of just picking your poison these days on like how he's going to be acting when he gets in front of a camera.
That's a fair point. I want to talk about the fight. I know I keep saying when you get there. Again, guys, if you watch the episode, it didn't last very long. But what did you think of the pre-tape? So we talked about sort of the reality TV show elements at the top of the show and kind of how refined it is at this point. So these are pretty standard now. They have some footage from the fighters back home, just telling their story. We get to meet their adorable families. How'd that stuff go for you, GC? Did you find it compelling?
Oh, I love it, dude. I mean, it's just a nice reminder of like just how human these fighters are. Like it's sometimes you can get caught up when you're watching the slog of the UFC cards week after week and there's 15 fights. It's hard to really dive deep onto these people. But when you get to see stuff like Jennerman beforehand, everything with his family, his daughters, it felt like he was sacrificing a lot to come and try and do this and leave his family, just how much he's putting on the line. And then same thing with Roosevelt Roberts. I mean, when his kids answer the call and everything, you know, it's kind of a touching moment. It makes you want to cheer for these people. And then, man, I mean, I was, to get into the result of the fight, I was like actually shocked that it ended that quickly. I mean, for it to end in 9 seconds and then for Jennerman to be crying afterward like that, talking about how he's let his family down, you know, it all feels like it's a waste. I mean, it makes you like, it makes you feel more connected with the fighters. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that's one thing fighters and the show, you know, people who care about the show always say, is that this show is still a good vehicle for developing, not developing their skills, but developing their brand power. And I think sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's probably less effective than it used to be. But that is good to hear, though, that these things still mean something. Because I think at some point you feel like you've seen it all in MMA as far as people's stories go. But, you know, you're right. When you get a little more closer look at it, a more intimate look, you actually get to see their families and how they interact with their families and their families rooting them on. Whose family did you find more? Just be honest, GC, whose family did you find more adorable and who were you rooting for to win the fight?
Oh, man, I mean, Roosevelt Roberts' kids answering the phone. I mean, that is obviously adorable, but I mean, Jennerman, beyond just the baby and everything, the three-legged dog, he called it, he was like, a little tripod. I mean, that's touching and everything. And I mean, like, the guy's also a UPS driver. He's getting up at 4:30 in the morning to go work and then go train afterward. Like, he's really putting in crazy work, making a lot of sacrifices. And to get on the big stage like that, like, I really did feel for him. Like, I was like, man, that sucks. Like, it's different when you get these backgrounds and, like, it's going to be really crazy, though, the deeper we get into the season. There's definitely going to be some characters that I'm really going to start to like and really going to start to root for. And someone is going to have an ending similar to Nate Jennerman tonight. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. Overall, though, I got off track from the question. I'll go Jennerman's family, the three-legged dog.
Oh, that must have really hurt. So you felt the pain then when this fight went the way it did.
He's crying. Yeah. He's just like, oh, my God. He's like, I think all of this was a waste of time. Like, I never should have left my family. It's like, dude, to be in tears in front of cameras and all those people like that and Conor McGregor back in the locker room and say a statement like that, like, you're really going through it. That's tough stuff right there.
Yeah, and listen, this is stuff like in a regular MMA fight when you see a fighter lose but the difference is like they're usually not expected to do a testimonial right after. They're not necessarily expected, the losing fighter is not expected to have to talk to the media after unless it's like a championship fight or something. So when you're just like a Nate Jennerman just trying to get by, excited about being on the show, you're doing this for your family. He has to stay in the house now. I mean, he doesn't get to leave. You know, he has to stay in the house now. One, to, of course, help train. And also, in case someone else drops out, you know, he's probably relatively unharmed unless he has a serious concussion, which is certainly possible. But if you're a gentleman, listen, you got to hang around. That sacrifice, maybe it'll still be worth it. We've seen it in the past. We've seen people come back on the show. People get injured all the time. Fingers crossed that doesn't happen. But if it does, it'll be good news for Jennerman. But yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Jesse. I mean,
if Nate Jennerman is on an Apex card on the prelims, second, third fight of the night, that exact same thing happens. He goes to the back and we just start the next fight and you just keep on rolling and you never hear any of that. And I probably didn't hear about the family before the fight. And it's just kind of like, well, he lost. That's a bummer for him. That's unfortunate. You just kind of keep rolling. Number two, you can clarify this for me because all of his teammates started hyping him up and was just like, it's just one fight. Shake it off. You know, we still got a month to train and everything. Is he done? Like, is he out of the competition?
Yes. Yes. Unless someone gets injured.
Wow. That's even more gutting. I mean, honestly, when everybody was back there hyping him up, I was like, oh, he'll get another chance. Like, is that how this works? that makes it even worse. I feel for Nate Jennerman.
Well, they always say that because the show has a somewhat frequent injury rate. Not like a lot of fighters every season, but usually it's like usually one or two guys a season are at least in danger. Because again, it's a tough hang, you might say, being the Ultimate Fighter house with all the training and again having to make weight multiple times with short notice. It's not great for the body, and so these injuries happen all the time. So there is a good chance that Nate Jennerman, that we do see him again, so he has to stick around and hopefully that happens for him. But yes, as we said, we don't know the exact time of the stoppage. Pre-fight, everyone was saying it's a pretty much not necessarily grappler versus striker, but in close kind of striker versus a very lengthy Roosevelt Roberts, one of the taller lightweights out there. And unfortunately, Jennerman could not get in, gets hit with one right hand right off the bat, clearly hurts him, goes inside, gets caught with another one behind the temple. He's down, hammer fist. Referee Mark Smith has to call it off. I mean, we saw Jennerman go limp for a second. So pretty eventful. And if you're the UFC, probably happy with how that ended, not necessarily caring who won, but they got an exciting finish in the first episode. There have been seasons where you get finishes few and far between. So to kick off the season with one, I guess nothing but good news for the show so far. As tough as it was to watch for Jennerman. What else? Anything else jump out from the show for you, GC, that we didn't get the chance to mention yet? I do have some other questions, but I'm wondering if there's anything any other angles that popped out, that because a lot happened this episode. We kind of glossed over a few things.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, a couple of things. One thing was Conor blowing off the weigh-ins. Like, we didn't really get an explanation for why that was. Like, that felt like a pretty important thing to miss. I mean, Chandler, I called him out for it. I really wonder what, I mean, obviously it was some sort of other obligation, but that felt like it was pretty big, especially for the fighters.
Yeah, Casey and I were, when we were talking about the show earlier today, we were saying like it almost felt like they rushed, because again, this is the way the show is formatted. It has a very clear, like, quarter one is where we do the coach's introduction. Quarter two, the team pick. Quarter three, learning about both fighters. Quarter four is the fight. It's, you know, I know it's divided into more than that. I heard there was a lot of commercials. I don't know how it was broken up on ESPN, but that's essentially how they segment the show, and they don't deviate from that. So I would have loved to have seen, yes, a little more diving into the drama of McGregor not being at the weigh-ins. Maybe if it happens more than once, that'll become more of an issue. This kind of happened with, I want to say, when Volkanovski and Ortega had a couple of issues with not showing up and he got called out for it. So maybe it has to happen more than once, but it does feel like the first time you want to at least bring it up besides like one, literally like one sentence, Conor's not here. So that was a little disappointing. And I wish we could have seen more of the evaluations as well. I wish we could have seen I know you're suggesting it's more about matchups, but like, you know, why did they necessarily say Hunter Azure number one? Why Amanda Gutierrez? Like, it'll probably come up in future episodes. I should be a little more patient, but I wish they play around with the format a little more and just kind of be like, well, maybe we should show more of the evaluations, show more of why McGregor's not here. That discussion, how do his fighters feel about it? That would have been interesting stuff. So hopefully, listen, we got 9 more episodes to go. Hopefully we do get some of that. I threw up a poll asking how people graded the episode. So far, A is leading the way. 40% A.
B, wow, A.
Not bad. 33% B. So pretty happy with it. D, only 12%. So everyone seemed to think it was a pretty good first episode. I kind of agree. I guess I want to, producer Casey, can I bring you up for a second? I do just want to bring you up.
Oh, okay.
Because I know you didn't love this episode.
What? I mean, I'm trying to be positive. No, please, I thought it was horrible. I did not like it at all.
But you voted D.
He would have voted D. Yes, if he were legally allowed to vote in our polls, he would have voted
D. Yeah, D. It was. Yeah, I didn't like it. It was bad. It was just. But in terms of reality TV, B. But in terms of, I don't know, as a fight fan, watching anything exciting, either from the dramatic, just drama trash talk to an actual fight or, I don't know, anything. I give it a solid D. But then again, I am a Laps fan. I haven't been a fan of Tough in a long time. And this didn't go, oh, they're back. No, but I was going to chime in and say, how about the no sell of Ryan Bader being there?
Now I have to.
The Toto no sell.
Now I will say, people in the
he's a Bellator champ. Yes. I know they won't say Bellator, but he's a, you know, it's freaking Ryan Bader.
I believe he has coached on the show before. Not a head coach. I believe he has been part of someone's team before. I meant to look this up. I apologize. I did not look this up. Hardcore tough fans in the comments remind me. If I recall correctly, him and Chandler helped someone coach. As an assistant. I could be wrong about Chandler. I'm almost sure Bader was on the show before as an assistant coach. That's why I wasn't like super shocked about it. I'm just trying to think what season that would have been,
In terms of the actual episode, my biggest issue of it was there were coaches there, but we saw zero coaching. This is about two coaches developing fighters to be in the UFC. There was zero coaching in the show. Zero. I don't know why they made this. I don't know why they did the seedings. The big thing, I don't know why they go this guy versus this guy, why the matchups happened. I didn't understand when Dana did the whole, I'm gonna flip a coin, you guys get, I don't know, first pick, and then he gets the second. I don't know. It felt like it should have been simple, but it wasn't. I was just like, whatever. And I thought it sucked that they made all the matchups ahead of time. I don't know.
Oh, you didn't like that?
Well, because I don't know who these guys are. So it's like okay, cool. Random name versus a guy who I saw lose a few times in the UFC. Random name versus another guy who I think he's pretty good. It sucks he got cut. Random guy versus, oh, that guy was awesome. He was a bare knuckle fighting. Cool. That's all that was. It was just, I don't know, like, the prospects. I don't know who they are, and I don't know why they're there. You know, other than they haven't been in the UFC. That doesn't tell me very much. You know, it was veterans versus guys who haven't fought in UFC. You shouldn't use the term prospects. That's
Casey,
all.
You have to watch each episode to find out.
That's what they get hooked in you. Learn each and every one of these stories, man.
Because Casey, you do like the pre-tapes. You do like the pre-fight pre-tapes, right? You said those.
Yeah, right? I thought the Roosevelt Roberts one was the best one, especially when he brought his kids on and just. You saw something there, but I mentioned this before. I was a little disturbed when after Roosevelt Roberts talking to his kids, and the next segment, Roosevelt Roberts is all like, "I'm ready to die in that cage." I'm like, "No, bro, you got two kids. No, don't say that.
You have so much to live for, Roosevelt. No."
I got listen, but yeah.
Yeah, listen, if we want to, we don't want to play cliche bingo, because the Ultimate Fighter, if there's one thing the Ultimate Fighter loves, it's cliche dialogue from the coaches, cliche dialogue from the fighters. Dana White, my God, I don't know how many cliches he's spouted over the past, again, 30 seasons of the show. Speaking of cliche, Chandler, apparently his fighters are dogs, and they also have that dog in them, which sounds a bit weird to me, but, you know, again, sometimes you're riffing and these things just get away from you. So I do want to get to the listener questions in a sec. But before that, let's chat quickly about a bit of a broader topic. Considering like this has been a lot of the discourse over the last couple of days with Connor and Monaco, Chandler doing as usual, posting out, you know, workout footage. A lot of people are wondering, how is this fight? And then, of course, there's the weird USADA drama that's also going on with McGregor. So I want to get both your guys' opinions. GC, I'll go to you first. Do you think that we see this fight this year? Are you getting any vibes that like this is going to get pushed to early 2023 or somewhere in the first quarter of 2023? Or do you think Dana said they're aiming for end of the year, so maybe it fills up that spot on that December pay-per-view? But I don't know. What's the vibe you're getting at GC?
Yeah, so you're asking if it could get pushed to 2024. So like if there's a chance that it jumps in early next year. Yep. I mean, we saw McGregor get interviewed when he was at the Black Forge Inn a week and a half ago. He promises that it's going to happen in 2023. Am I getting the vibes that it might not? I mean, absolutely. There's certainly a chance. I mean, he is partying in Monaco, and we're not sure with what's going on with USADA. So I want to believe. I'm going to say yes. I think it does happen in 2023. I think it gets into one of those later year pay-per-views, either November. I mean, if they did it at MSG, that would be unbelievable, or that December pay-per-view. But like, am I gonna be like floored if it doesn't happen until 2024? No, but I will say, if I have to choose one, I'm taking it's gonna happen this year.
Casey, as someone, you're an undefeated fighter. Does it bother you when you don't see Connor gripping and ripping in the gym, posting those workout videos, showing those gains? I mean, are you losing confidence that it's gonna happen in the next 6 months?
if it happens within the next 6 months, it may be an 85.
Oh,
it may be an 85.
You think he's looking a little big?
Yeah, I would be shocked if this fight happens in 2023. Would be shocked. I mean, I see Michael Chandler just fighting someone before he actually fights Conor McGregor.
Oh,
that would be such a disappointment to me.
Yeah, it will be a disappointment. Yeah, incredibly disappointment. But Michael Chandler, I mean, I don't know how much Michael Chandler has in the bank, but he has to fight a little bit more than I would think Conor. Conor doesn't have to fight. This is just, I don't know what this is for him, but
it's possible. There was a tough coach curse for a while, where a lot of times the fight that was hyped up throughout the season between the two coaches just didn't happen, or didn't happen right away, or was heavily delayed. I think they've had good luck with it. I want to say recently, the past like 7 or 8 seasons, where it went off without a hitch. But there was a stretch there where a lot of time was spent building up fights. And again, either
have they ever done this before? Have two coaches in there and really have. You don't. We have no idea when the fight will actually happen. Isn't there a general idea when they're like as soon as the season ends, they're gonna fight like a month later after that season ends, or after the tough finale, or the week after the tough finale. I don't recall something like this where we're gonna have the tough finale. I don't know, 3 months or whatever, and then maybe in 6 months we're like, yeah, we're shooting this whatever. For this time,
I'm not sure. Do we even have a date for the tough finale? I don't think so. We don't even know that, right? I don't think that's official. Yeah. So they often don't know at the beginning of the season, but there hasn't been this much uncertainty. Though it could just be because it's McGregor that is caught, a little more speculation, a little more concern.
No, it is.
last season, Pena and Nunes, obviously, even though they were going to do their rematch, that was not officially scheduled until I think like the 7th or 8th episode. It was quite a ways in before they finally announced it. But again, it's Nunes and Pena. There wasn't as much controversy.
Do Conor and Chandler even have to fight?
Because
dude, I don't know.
Am I throwing bad juju out there?
I mean, first you say the episode's a D. Now you're saying they're never even going to fight. I mean, what are we even doing?
I love that. I think
there's a reason I'm a Laps fan. There's a reason I watched it. And then I was like, all right, I'm out. I've been burned.
He's been hurt before. We've asked him to forgive and to come back to the show, and now he feels he's been hurt again. You see, you are watching with beautiful. Yeah.
We're going to get an announcement during the season. As the season goes on, I don't know when, maybe it's July, maybe late June, we get an announcement of when this fight is going to happen.
That is how it's supposed to go.
I hope so. I hope you're right, Conor. That's all. I hope everything goes perfect.
GC, again, I know you haven't had a chance to do a ton of research on these guys, but as our we'll go to the listeners next, as our no bets barred man, if you're allowed to bet on the other fighter, I'm actually not sure. I'm sure someone's thrown up odds somewhere. I don't think it's on like DraftKings or anything. Can you offer a lightweight pick and a bantamweight pick? I know you said you like Valiev, but I don't know if you meant you liked him to go all the way, or you just liked his chances of kind of winning his next fight. Is there any, can you offer a name?
I'm taking Valiev to go all the way. That just like
Valiev from bantamweights.
Hunter Azor isn't Brad Katona either. I mean, man, the bantamweight vets are kind of stacked, but I'm going to stick with my pick of Valiev. Lightweights. I mean, I don't want to say Roosevelt Roberts just because that's like recency bias. He just KO'd. Let's see. It was Kurt Holobaugh said that he would finish everyone in the first round.
Yes.
I'm gonna ride with him. That's gonna be my prediction. Team Chandler guys to end up
winning. Team Chandler gonna win the show. Yeah, I like Kurt Holobaugh. I think he's the oldest or second oldest guy on the show. I believe he's the first fighter who ever followed me back on Twitter. So there's a little weird. I'm kind of rooting for Kurt Holobaugh. Yeah,
If I had to take someone from Team McGregor though, I think it's Mando Gutierrez at 135. Ooh. That every time they show him, he's rocking the cowboy hat. I didn't even know the story behind that. That gives me good energy moving forward. So he'll be my pick from Team McGregor.
Does it worry you that Mando recently lost a fight to Raul Rosas Jr.?
Nah, not at all. I mean,
not at all.
Rosas Jr. I mean, he's on main cards of pay-per-views over here.
Oh, okay. All right. And I will say, Casey, I think before you, I don't think you made your pick, but you expect the veterans to just wash the prospects. You think they're going to just like 7-1 or 8-0, 6-2? Oh, Casey, you're muted.
Sorry. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. There are 8 fights, right?
There will be 8 fights. Yeah. 4 bantamweight fights, 4 lightweight fights.
Before the tournament starts, I guess.
Yeah.
7-1.
7-1. Wow.
Someone's going to slip on a banana peel and just, you know, a random flip KO, but 7-1. Wow. Yeah.
I'm writing these down. Casey says the vets, Team Chandler, goes 7-1 in the preliminary round. I said Mando Gutierrez, sick hat. And then I went with Valiv and Holoba.
Okay, I'll go with, you know what? I'll go, this is probably an easy pick. Jason Knight for the lightweights. I don't know. I just got a good feeling about it. And my fellow Canadian, Brad Katona for the bantamweights. Tough 27 winner. He's going two-time.
Ooh.
Two-time tough winner. Let's go.
I'm actually going to go. I don't think Brad Katona gets it done because he won before. He doesn't go two-time. He doesn't go back-to-back. That's my anti-pick. It won't be okay. Brad
Katona. Ooh. It's worth noting Hunter Azure is also on the show. Hunter Azure beat Brad Katona in the UFC already, so I don't know if that makes people feel better about Katona's chances or worse, but certainly, again, something worth mentioning. Hunter Azure, another guy who probably shouldn't have even gotten released in the first place. Casey, go ahead, Casey, sorry.
Just about the vets, like, I do have to say it was pretty crazy. Like, I think it was Roosevelt Roberts, and he was talking with another member of the household just about how crazy it was to get cut and like everything they had to go through. So it's interesting to hear their perspective, and I think it's going to be incredibly valuable throughout the show. So I do side with Casey. I think the vets are going to have a lot of success.
Yeah, I think if there were odds on these things, the vets would be pretty fairly favored in some of these matchups. But all right, Casey, we've been yapping for a while. Let's go to the listeners for a few questions, please.
All right.
All right, excited to keep the viewers waiting.
There we go.
Oh, we got some good questions already, I see.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah. From The Last Stand 001. What do you guys think of the fight still being 2 rounds? GC, did you know going in that the fights on Ultimate Fighter were only 2 rounds?
I did not. It kind of shocked me. But then we have the sudden death third round if it's 1-1 after 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So at that point, I'm cool with it. I mean, I feel like we're going to see a decent amount of finishes. And if we have to go to a third round, I like the sudden death aspect of it. Makes it feel a little bit more reality TV, which is what I'm here for.
Yeah, I'm with that too. I also think like, theoretically, it's supposed to motivate them to go for a finish, right? To kind of come out faster. You've only got like 10 minutes to make a strong impression. Like you said, if you want to come out fast and win 2 rounds, that's all you need to win. And I'm also optimistic because there's a few more veterans on the show and they know what they're doing, that we will see either better fights or actually see more finishes.
So what you're saying, you win the first round, you just cruise your way and play it
second. No, the opposite, round. The opposite. You have to fight hard both rounds unless you want to avoid fighting a third round. So that's And it usually doesn't work out that way. A lot of times fighters just kind of pace themselves like it's a 3-round fight, knowing that they have like a third they can, you know, but I wish it's not the show's fault. I mean, it's not the show's fault. It's not the producer's fault. The two fights should be motivated.
And this is the reason why this is the reason why these are technically exhibition matches.
They're exhibitions, correct.
Because of this 2-round thing. I think it's stupid. I don't think why do we need it? Like, just have them. I don't know. I just it doesn't add extra drama to me, but I get why they do it. But it's something they has that been since season one, this whole 2-round thing?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know about the sudden death thing. I know, but that has been around for a while, the sudden death round. But it must have been. It's so weird because you can't even bring up the first season. The first season, the guys didn't even know they were going to fight on the show. They all thought oh, only one of us is going to make it to the finale, and that was so weird. I'll have to go back. I assume they were just 3-round fights on the first season. But now that you mention it, the whole exhibition thing, but it has been 2-round fights for a long time, plus the bonus round.
Yeah. All right. I interrupted you, Mr. Burks. You were going to say
something. Oh, yeah, GC, you had another thought on that?
So we're going to have open scoring on the Ultimate Fighter this season.
I'm actually surprised they haven't tried it on the show. There's no reason not to try it. And I say this as someone who's not a fan of it. Like, why not? I don't see why you
would. That would feel more reality TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another gimmick. Gimmicks are good for reality TV.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think that was actually the biggest disappointment, though, with the episode, is because nothing changed. I think that was just open scoring let's have the teams pick the matchups. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there. I was just disappointed that nothing was different. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's a very professional product. Like, it's a very professional, well-done product. Like, again, remember, this is the first time the show's been on ESPN, right? This is the first season actually on ESPN. So they probably thought, let's not mess around with it too much. We know what we do well. Let's play it safe, which I think defines the ESPN era of the UFC pretty well. So that's not super, right? It's not super surprising that they didn't they didn't go crazy with anything. But I'm surprised they didn't do more Connor, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually a shock. Just a comment.
Alan L says, or Alan the First? I don't know. Decent first episode. It'll probably get better next episode. First tough episodes are just intro and sneak previews / hint stuff. No, that's true. That's true. And I think what Casey is saying, though, is like that is how it's usually done. Could they not have just tweaked it a little bit? You know you're getting more eyeballs because of McGregor. Could you not have taken a chance here? But I don't know. I don't think it was necessarily the worst thing. GC, you were fine with how it was laid out, pretty much, right?
Along with Alan, like I like the intros. You get to meet the fighters, plus the role at the end, the little sneak preview role. Sure. I think I saw Islam in there at one point. Maybe he'll be making an appearance. That'll be interesting, especially if he's around McGregor. Some ice baths. I saw them all getting into ice, both McGregor and Chandler getting into ice baths. At one point, I don't know if it had to do with the infamous push, the shove that we're going to get at some point. Dana running over, and he was like, get out of my way, get out of my way. So I don't know what that's all about, but the little highlight reel that they played at the end got me hyped for the next 2.5 months. So yeah, I'm with Alan there.
GC, they really reeled you in. They really reeled you in with this show. I'm glad to hear it.
Hyped about them.
I'm glad to hear it. Casey, can we get one or two more questions in here? See anything?
Yeah. Kind of what we just talked about real quick.
Brandon QFG, did the show feel as stale for you guys as previous seasons? There were no changes to the format. Yeah, again, stale is a fair word. I saw a few people, I think especially great Kaposa, saying like, I'm watching the first 10 minutes of this, and if everything's just the same, like, I'm out of here. And I don't blame people. It can be a bit of a grind to get through it. The draft, again, was not as compelling as it could have been. That's usually a pretty good Hick Diaz, Jason Knight. That's usually a pretty good hook for, you know, new viewers, old viewers, see where they rank the fighters and stuff. But you didn't even get that.
Yeah, I wanted to see them, like, you know, roll or something or do something, and then Connor's like, oh, I like that guy, you know, like, that's, you know, it was nothing.
Why he chose them, I'm with you. You mentioned it earlier, AK, like I wish we had gotten to see more of what they really liked in each guy and why they made the selections that they did. And yeah, I mean, maybe actual coaching instead of like I mean, I did get a kick out of McGregor like immediately suiting up, like throwing on the headgear and the shin pads.
I was gonna say that was good. They should have shown more of that.
That was probably one of the better parts. Yeah, maybe that's all they had, and they had really just stretched it out. But I guess one just issue I have with the show right too. I'm just thinking about the coaching part. It's like, I don't watch a lot of reality TV, but when I do, like I like that show Forged in Fire. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not familiar.
Well, it's a welding show. But I don't weld. I'm not a blacksmith, but like I feel like I learned something about blacksmithing. Connor, did you feel like you learned anything about fighting, or is that even important? I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Fantastic comparison. I'm not going to lie. Like a lot of people love the F1 documentary and like you learn a ton about the sport and you get into the sport. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you just watched this one episode, no, and you didn't learn anything about fighting. And then you also, the fight at the end lasted 9 seconds. So that's all you got in terms of that. That's a good point by you, Casey.
Yeah. That was something that was emphasized again on probably earlier seasons of the show when they were trying to grow the MMA audience. And then when they realized, oh, we're getting a sort of a new crowd here, let's have a segment where we have one of the coaches like going to like, oh, this is how, you know, how a super effective triangle goes. I remember the Ronda Rousey season, there was a whole bit about like, oh, how great her arm bars are and people showing off the arm bar. It's definitely become less emphasized in the newer era where they kind of take for granted what they assume, you know, oh, most fans know these things now. We don't need to show fans what a double leg is. We don't need to show fans what a Superman punch is. But I agree, those segments, stuff like that, would be a little refreshing, frankly.
Yeah. I had issues, that's all. Like, I want the show to be better, that's all.
Casey, it's all uphill from here. I'm telling you.
There you go. That's positive.
You gotta stay positive.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some good recommendations. I see Zach Hepp says, just show zero footage of the house. No one gives an F about that. That's probably true. Well, again, I'll ask you. Did you like that? Did you like getting a little glimpse inside the tough house?
You're asking me?
GC, I'm asking you. Sorry.
I liked it. I mean, you get to see the bunk beds. The bunk beds are sick. I can't imagine like these thrillers that are like trained fighters having to sleep in bunk beds for however long they did.
That is weird. It
was kind of fun seeing like Chandler running around with them too. At one point, like he was excited about the sauna or something. I mean, I don't need to see them eating breakfast or having their avocados or whatever, but like, I'm going to imagine at some point in the season there's going to be a decent amount of drama that takes place at the household. I'm kind of with Zach here. Now that we've
I hope you're right, because I will tell you something. There was one season of The Ultimate Fighter. I believe it was, I'm looking this up quickly, season 19, the completely pointless Frankie Edgar BJ Penn season where it preceded their third fight, which never should have happened. There was a montage of just people sleeping. I will tell you, there was a time skip. I was like, this show is dead. This show. And then it went on for another like 15 seasons. But yes, we are hoping that there will be some actual show. There's so much proper 12. Just keep plying them with the proper 12. Come on.
Yeah. There was zero coaching, but they had time to put in fighters talking about proper 12.
You're darn right.
Well, also, can we talk about like not just the proper 12, but the Forged Irish Stout? I've got it right up here on my picture.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought I got a pretty good kick out. Like as soon as the McGregor team like became the McGregor team, they all show up the next time at the Apex and 70% of them are wearing the Forged Irish Stout hats and hoodies and t-shirts. Like they just got all the McGregor merch.
If you're on team Chandler, I mean, you're not touching that stuff in the house, right? You can't be seen drinking the proper 12 or the stout, right? You can't.
Imagine if you embarrassed yourself. If like you did something really dumb, like some viral clip, and it's because you got hammered off of proper 12.
Oh gosh, I hope that doesn't happen. But the producers may be hoping it does. Casey, can we get one more in here?
All right.
GC kind of mentioned one. So Beal wants to know, what guest coaches do you think will appear? GC, you said we saw a hint of Islam. I think I actually missed that. Islam Makhachev?
Unless I was seeing things in that quick highlight reel at the end, I thought I saw Islam by the cage, yeah.
I could see Chandler bringing in a lot of guests. Obviously, he's got those, you know, those Killcliff connections. I would love to see if they brought in, if like, you know, I know he's kind of in just coming up in his career still, but like Ian Machado Gary, just see his interaction, because he's, you know, he's pals with Chandler, but then there's the whole Irish connection with McGregor, and they're, you know, they're certainly not enemies at all. They definitely like each other. So that would be a fun thing. I don't think he's going to take time to go on the show, but I would love to see Ian Machado Gary pop up. Casey, I don't know if you have any coaches.
As long as they coach and we get to see it, maybe, yeah.
You just want to see coaches in general. Guest coaches. You want to hear more from the coaches.
Yeah, I want. Because that's what the show is supposed to be, right? Like these very famous, highly regarded coaches with these guys going, all right, let's get you into the biggest promotion in the world. Let's make this happen. But I don't know. But wasn't there one point in the show when some of the coaches said, maybe it was one of the fighters, it said, like, I don't know how much is going to change. Like, yeah, kind of who we are.
The veterans were like,
the vets, like, we're kind of who we are. Yeah. As long as we kind of make weight, this is what it is. I mean, we can game plan a little bit, but they don't know who their opponents are. So,
they do now.
I guess.
I don't know. So, yeah, that's about it. But other than that, yeah, if you've been in the game for, 11, 12 years, I'm not sure how much you can, but you know, you can always get refined. Some of these guys are coming from, not necessarily bad gyms, but smaller gyms, have been training with the same guys for almost their entire careers. So it could be that benefit of, without having to change teams fully, getting to learn from a Chandler, from a Ryan Bader, getting to learn from McGregor, John Kavanaugh, and all those guys. So there's something to that. I always like to believe that these form real bonds with these coaches. It was nice to see McGregor. I thought he was there for Nate Gentleman. I thought that was kind of nice. So I don't know, maybe we see more of that. But Casey, I think that is it for questions this week.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay. I will apologize to people. I don't think we'll be able to take questions in the future. Again, the show Tough Hang will be on every Tuesday immediately after The Ultimate Fighter 31. But thank you guys. Thank you guys for joining us for this first show. Thank you, GC, popping that tough premiere cherry, I guess. Probably just a better way to say that. But there he is. So proud. And having the prospect colors. Those are the Team Chandler prospect colors. He has picked two Chandler fighters to win the show. He is all in
I'm in a McGregor jersey right now, and I picked
two. That's right. I'm sorry. You're the McGregor's the prospect side. You're right. So you're going with that. But you're going with the technically going with the red team, which I guess would be my team somehow. Michael Chandler and producer Casey. Thank you as well for joining us, for ending your tough celibacy. I really got to find better ways to say these things. And
Popped this cherry. I'm a celibate. Yeah.
Good job, AK. Killing it. Coming back to these things. And thank you again, everyone, for watching, everyone who listens on the podcast later. Enjoy the rest of the season, everybody. Next week, episode 2, Timur Valiyev versus Trevor Wells. Ooh. Yeah, and then I actually am really looking forward to that fight. And hopefully, I don't think we get the shove yet, but hopefully we start to build up some McGregor-Chandler drama that will culminate in a fight in 2023. Fingers crossed, we don't know. But this has been the first episode of Tough Hang. Good night, everyone, and take care of yourselves.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G Podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.